What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. You can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
All right, guys, let's talk about something we all need. High quality, comfortable, stylish clothing that actually holds up in real life. Whether you're grinding at work, hitting the gym, or just hanging out, the Normal brand has you covered. I've been rocking their gear, and let me tell you, it's not your average clothing line. They've nailed it perfect with the perfect blend of durability, comfort, style. Whether it's a go-to rugged Henley, a hoodie, a button-down that doesn't make you feel like a stiff, the Normal brand is where it's at. The best part is you can support the show while upgrading your wardrobe. Just hit the link in the description below. Check out their collection. Trust me, once you try it, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. The Normal brand. Made for real life, built to last. Now go check them out.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles. Made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. I really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show.
We have a very special guest in studio today. He is a stand-up comedian, the very funny, the great and powerful Eric Roessler. Welcome, welcome, sir.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were a guest on your show. You know, actually, the episode just came out yesterday, and it was a
blast.
Yeah, it was so
much fun. It was so a blast.
Dude, the way you do your show is it's like such a fun like
concept.
Yeah. It's just everything. Is this the best? You know, or yeah. The best question mark? It's fucking great. I love it.
You guys were you guys were awesome. Cause it's fun to have somebody who has like experience of like being on mic, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's always fun to interview people because everybody's got a different opinion. You know what I mean? Like the whole idea is anytime somebody says something's the best, it's just an opinion. Like there's no way to prove it. So it's like it's fun to have a friendly argument about something that doesn't matter in the slightest, you know, because I don't talk politics. I don't get into like anything super like offensive or anything. Like it's all like lighthearted fun, just a good way to kill, you know, some just entertaining.
That's the whole point. When I was listening to the episode yesterday, I was like, oh, I bet you could pull like some good bits from this. You know, like have you ever pulled any like bits from?
Every now and then I get something where I'm like, oh, that might. Write that down. Oh, okay. okay. All
might
right.
Be something there.
Yeah. And then I don't know, but I'm always skeptical about that because it's like if people are fans of the podcast and then come see me do stand up, I don't want them to be like, well, I've heard this, you know? Mm. And it is also kind of strange because sometimes in the back of my mind, when like I ask somebody a question, you know, it's like people are going to know my answer from last week. So it's like, do I need to change it now? Do I need to be? But then I get comments that are like, this guy always changes his mind. And it's like, well, that's
so
the idea.
Right? Yeah.
That's the whole idea is like, it's fun to kind of like disagree with people, you know, just lighthearted, fun disagreements, not crazy screaming.
Yeah, opinions can change.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point.
Although, I was going to say this, and you were like, ooh, save it. I was driving up here today, and I got a comment, like, because a podcast is kind of like a labor of kind of love, but also at the same time, there's times probably, I don't know about you guys, but you're like, I hate this. I don't, like, what are we doing? But I got a comment from Instagram on the ride up here, and it's like, what's the name of this podcast? We make you want to eat a gun. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, nice. Yeah. Fine. Sick. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was feeling super good today. I'm glad I got that reset, you know?
Yeah, we got a nice comment the other day about our painting back here. It was like, hey, you know, that painting behind them looks pretty Brokeback Mountain.
And now that we look at it.
Well, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I can see it.
Kind of look like we're about to kiss, but it's all right.
That's okay. That's all right.
I love you, buddy.
But yeah, I was about too. To say.
I'm not going to kiss you.
If you can't kiss your podcast host, then what are we doing? What does this country come to?
So how did you get into comedy? Like, how did that, like, was that something you kind of always wanted to do? I mean, you were in the military. Like, what, were you just kind of always the funny guy around all the guys? Or like, what?
In a weird way, kind of. Yeah, that was my favorite part of every job. So, like, when I got out of the military and I was kind of bouncing around, I sold insurance for a while, I sold cars for a while, and I hated both of them. And I went into this, like, super deep depression, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, my life is over. I thought the best parts of my life were going to be, you know, it had already happened. And somebody was talking to me, and they're like, well, what do you want to do? What's your favorite thing to do? And I was like, you know how at every job you hang out with your coworkers and, you know, talk shit and laugh and stuff like that? And they were like, yeah. I was like, that's what I like to do. And they were like, well, that's not really a job.
I just want to hang around and laugh.
Yeah. It was like, you know how when your boss gets mad at you for not doing anything, but you're having a great time. And it's like, yeah. And it's like that. How do I?
Well, I don't know. First Form's got what, the chief happy officer?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a real thing. But yeah.
I can only imagine if I told my dad that. Like, well, what are you going to do? How are you going to provide for your family? Well, I'm going to be a chief happy officer. I'm going to be a little silly boy. don't mind me.
Just the clown in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I had several friends who told me throughout the years, they're like, dude, you should try stand-up comedy. You should try it. And I was like, no, I was terrified. I was like, absolutely not. No, could never. In fact, I was so scared of it when I first started that I would wear my boots from the Marines because I would stare at my feet while I spoke because I would look down at my boots. And I'm like, well, if you can do that, you could do this. Mm-hmm. And it just like slowly, it wasn't until like I would get a laugh that I would kind of like look up for a second and then look back down.
Dude, it's terrifying. I mean, I don't know if I told you this, but I went and did an open mic once probably like 7 years ago-ish, and it didn't go very well. I got up there and like told a funny story from college about my wife's roommate slept with one of the dudes at my fraternity house, and she realized that she had she had a tampon in and forgot to take it out before they had sex, and so she assumed that it was in his bed. So she paid me $100 to go look for a bloody tampon in my buddy's bed. Shocker, I didn't find it. And it turned out it was just jammed up in her. And
Well, who hasn't been there? You know?
I didn't really plan the story very well, but I went up there and kind of told the story, and everybody was like, I like thought I was like making punchlines with it. And I was like sitting there like waiting for people to laugh. Okay. All right. That didn't happen.
There is no bigger gut punch in the world than saying something and being like, kind of like pausing, like this is where the laughs are going to come. And then everyone just stares at you. You're like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
That was all I had. That's what I thought the funniest part was going to be. But
okay.
No. Fuck myself now.
Well, it made me realize like how, like what a long road it is to, and it made me have so much more respect for stand-ups, and I'm like, stand-up comedy is like my favorite. It's like my favorite thing to go see. Like I was talking to my wife about this recently. I was like, we used to go and see, you know, concerts and go see live music all the time, like when we were younger. But like over the last few years, it's like anytime we like have a night out that we want to like go see something, it's always been to go see stand-up. Like that's my favorite thing to go.
Yeah, I ran into you last Thursday.
Yeah, I love it. It's so good. Like Sam Talent was how was hilarious.
It? So funny.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Oh God. I was dying.
He's like one of those, he's like every comic's favorite comic almost, really? You know, like, cause it's like, he's in it for the love of the game. Like, I don't know. He writes so much and he's so quick and he's so funny. And like, you can tell he's smart because of like the riffs that he would go on, the words that like the word choices that he would use. You're like, what? You know, like that's so funny. Like, who says that? And I don't know. I he's one of the people that I respect the most, probably, is like, oh, okay, this is the next level, yeah. You know, and it's somebody put his 10,000 hours in, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I wonder how long he's been doing it. He's got to be doing it for a long time.
Right? I think I heard one time that he said he has been doing it since he was like 19 and he's in his 40s now. So, yeah.
A long time.
20 yeah.
plus years. Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard, you know, I listen to a lot of Rogan. I think he always says like 10 years is like the, you know, like when you kind of really start making your way into it or, you know, kind of finding yourself, or I don't know what he said, but like something along those lines.
Yeah.
Is that something you kind of would subscribe to?
Oh, yeah. I've heard so many people say, if you've been doing it less than 10 years, you're still new.
Yeah. I think he said something like that. Yeah.
And there's so many people out there that are like, well, it's really 12, you know, or like, and then you talk to somebody else and it's like, actually it's 15. And so I feel like it is a little bit of depending on the person. Cause you know, there's always those, like every now and then there's a
outlier for sure.
Somebody who took off overnight, and like everybody says Matt Rife took off. They're like, oh, he took off overnight. And it's like, well, he's also been doing this like 12 years. Mm-hmm. You just heard about him now, you know? Right. So, cause he was on like Wildin' Out back in, I think it was like 08 or 09 or something like that. And then he became a household name 11 years later.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, he just made it. Or he came out of nowhere. It's like, no, he's been doing it. You just didn't hear of him.
Well, I mean, that's the power of social media. I mean, I feel like, especially during COVID, when not being able to go out and see shows, a lot of people went to TikTok and things like that. And I mean, that's how I came across Matt Rife, was through TikTok.
Yeah.
I'm just doing his crowd work.
Well, that's how he kind of blew up. Mm-hmm. He puts out, I think he films like every show and like always ends up doing a lot of crowd work. And that's what he pulls those clips from. Well,
the thing is, like, he doesn't even, I don't even think, and nobody may find this interesting, but he doesn't do all that much crowd work. He just does a little bit each show and only puts that out. Because, like, as a comedian, telling jokes is kind of like a magic trick where, like, the first time I say it, you're like, oh, that's awesome. I love it. The second time, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then the third time, you're like, okay, it's the ace of spades. Right. Yes. It's like, okay. You know, so it, like, loses its power. So he can't put out a joke every night because he has to work on it. He has to tighten it and tweak it. And there's constantly, you're like, my timing, my facial expressions, my tone, my, you know, inflection, body language, like all those things go into it, tweaking. And so if you put it out, then people are like, well, I've heard this. So it's like crowd work is something that's like, oh, this can never happen again. This is a one-off. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This person's never going to be sitting here again. And it's, you know, I'm not going to have this exact person to talk to and riff off of, you know, the crowd work.
Well, and that was the thing, because he did that special and he was like, yeah, I think this might be the hardest set I'll ever have to do, is sit here and do crowd work for like an hour. I mean, that would be fucking tough.
By the way, if you like crowd work, you really should check out Big J Okerson.
Oh, I love Big J.
Did you see the thing he just put out?
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. It's called
YouTube, right?
They, I think.
Yeah.
He's doing a two-part. It's like They and Them. But he just put it out. It's top tier. I mean, insane.
Well, and his whole style is so different from anybody else. He like just sits on the stool, and like I feel like nobody else really does that, or he just like doesn't move. He sits up on the stool, just
yeah. And it's just
like this, and
he holds court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's exactly what I wanted to do when I was like bouncing around from job to job. It's like, that. How do I do that? How do I, you know, like, how do I sit there and just have fun with people, you know? And I got lucky. So I live in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is 2 hours south of St. Louis. And the closest comedy club was up here. When I first started thinking about doing comedy, I Googled, you know, how far from my house to Memphis and how far from my house to St. Louis. St. Louis was 30 minutes closer. And I was like, well, I guess I'm a St. Louis comedian now. Like because I was like, okay, 2 hours. I'm willing to drive up and back.
There wasn't anything in Paducah?
No, not really. I mean, there's like a couple little things, but it's like, okay, what's going to help me get my goal?
Right. Yeah.
And my goal
Paducah's not going to.
But that's being said, as soon as people in Paducah reached out and were like, hey, you want to come to a show? Absolutely. Like I did one there on Valentine's Day. But it's like, as soon as I got my name out there and people were like, hey, I've got a show here. Would you be willing? Yeah, I was hitting up all of the Dexter, Missouri VFW and the Quinlan, Missouri American Legion and the Eagles Lodge in, you know, Breeze, Illinois or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you're just hitting up all these random spots. Like, anyone that's like, yeah, we'll give you $5 to come talk for 10 minutes. And you're like, awesome, I'm going to get paid, you know?
I'm a professional.
I'm a professional comedian. Like, it is kind of fun. My favorite thing to do is after a show, and I've been doing this since I started, is as soon as I find out how much money I made, I will text it to... I text it to my wife and I text it to my dad. My wife, because she controls the checkbook, because I'm terrible with numbers. And my dad, because it's like, I wanted to be like, hey, look, I'm doing it. And it was funny because in the beginning it was like plus $5, plus $5, plus $12, you know? It's like, ooh. And now there are nights where it's like plus $5, you know? But there's also nights where you're like, hey, look, I'm doing it, you know, and it's crazy to watch that grow, like as I've been growing. And it's just, those are the little victories to me.
So have you had a day job throughout this, how does that work?
So right after I started, there was a comedy club that opened up in my hometown, which I was like, I'm a religious person. So to me, that was like, that's a miracle. The fact that this opened up 6 months after I started doing stand-up comedy, you know, and it's a very small town. Cape Girardeau is like 30,000 people or something like that. So for
most of it are college kids.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So every summer it drops down to 20,000 people, you know, it's insane. And, it's just like the fact that opened up and the timing of it and everything was like a miracle almost. And so I started working there, and I was working the door, and I was working as like the semi-manager or whatever. And I was doing that the whole time. But no, other than that, so when I got out of the military, sorry, I don't know if it's this, but I'm all over the place right now.
No, you're fine. Yeah,
okay. Newtonics, baby.
Yeah, man.
Newtonic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good old Cognizant, just like mom used to make, you know?
Not an energy drink.
Not
the world's first productivity drink.
It's so great about it. Yeah, this is pretty cool. Anyway.
You get sponsored by them for his shows. It's like, just chug one, but then put the greatest sets on ever.
Now when I got out, I got out of the military in 2016, and then in 2018, I was deemed 100% disabled. So I get a disability check, and that's actually, it caused me to go into like a deep depression. 'Cause I was like, oh, I'm broken. I'm done, you know? And it's made me feel like I was no good to anybody anymore. And then I had an epiphany one day that it's like, no, dude, you got a winning lottery ticket. Go do what you want. You don't have to do everything else. Like all of these other comics I have like the deepest respect for, because they go out, they do sets, they do shows, you know, and you don't get done till 1 a.m. And that's if you're like cutting it short, and then wake up at 5 and go sweep up, you know, a high school, or go work, you know, deliver mail or something like that. And it's like, that's crazy to me. And then people look at me and they're like, well, you're a disabled veteran, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, but I also got to sleep in till 8 today, you know. It's pretty good. I don't know. So
no, you mentioned being a Marine. Like, how does a mindset translate to the chaos of stand-up comedy? Because it sounds pretty chaotic with all the late nights, travel, all of that stuff.
Well, actually, I mean, late nights, travel, that a lot of that, it kind of translates mm-hmm. because, you know, there's so many times in the Marines where it's like, hey, you're on post tonight for the next 6 hours, 8 hours. And you're like, well, but it's 1 a.m. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And so you're like, all right. So there's just like, you just see thing. I don't know. I always see things as like, this is a task. It has to get done. It doesn't matter if it sucks. It doesn't matter if it's fun. It doesn't matter. It has to get done. So you just do it. And there are times where, yeah, I bitch and moan and I don't want to drive to Paducah and you know, whatever. And then I get there and I'm like, yeah, I really do want to drive to Paducah. Yeah. I really enjoy doing this. I'm glad I did it. I drove to Cincinnati and back one night, which is like 6.5 hours.
That's a hike.
I did it for 5 minutes of stage time and no pay. And it was like an audition. And because somebody was like, hey, if you want, come try out. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I drove up, I did it. And then I turned around and drove back. And driving back, you're like, this is a long drive. But also, I wouldn't want to do anything else. So it's like, I'm going 100% in, you know?
Yeah. Damn, dude. That's crazy. And like, it just, like, so how long have you been doing stand-up now?
Almost 7 years. I'm about to hit 7 years.
Wow, so for almost 7 years, how often are you in St. Louis? Are you driving up here pretty much every day?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I would drive up, do my sets, turn around, drive home. And I did that five. My goal was 7 to 10 sets a week. I could usually get that in like 4 or 5 days. So 4 or 5 days of driving up and back. Now, once I got a studio and started a podcast, I had a couch in there and I would sleep on the couch, which don't tell anybody because kind of breaks my
your lease.
Maybe. Don't do it anymore, though. So, yeah, whoops. And then I had a family member who had an apartment nearby and they would let me go shower there and stuff like that. And then after a while, I convinced them, like, hey, can I just be on the lease and I'll kick you some money and then I can stay there? Because they treated it as like a second home. They treated it as like a, they would come up for Cardinals games and they would come up for special events and concerts and stuff like that. And so I talked my way onto the lease. And so now I have a place to stay up here. So sometimes I'm up here 5-6 days a week and then I drive home and try to get in as much family time as I can. And then I'm like, all right, I got a show in Nashville. I'll see you guys, you know, Thursday. And then I'll come back and be there for 24 hours and be like, all right, I got to go do a podcast or I got to go do a show or I'm working the weekend at Helium. I'll see you Tuesday, you know, and you just do what has to get done, you know?
Well, and so I'm sure that's not easy on home life with all that traveling and being gone all the time.
No, it's not. It's it does have its tolls. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you know about that, but professional baseball and stuff like that. And
I didn't have kids or a wife at the time. I was single, so yeah. made it much easier.
Yeah, so. I can see that. But also still, I mean, it's weird. I'm trying to keep myself from feeling like home life is interrupting my, you know, career. Because I feel like if I start to feel that way, then things have gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Because the only reason I'm doing this is not just because, like, I love it and it's my dream and stuff, but I also know deep down that this is the best life that I could provide for them. Because if I chase my dream and it works, it's going to be way more successful than if I went back to selling cars, because I was a very poor to average car salesman, you know, because I didn't care. Like, yeah. I didn't like lying to people, but I also didn't like, I don't know. I didn't want to.
Well, then your kids get to see you happy and
yeah,
you know, a better version of yourself.
Exactly. And I mean, I know it's a gamble and I know it's a risk and it's not guaranteed and anything like that, but neither was the Marines. And so I gambled, mm-hmm. I won. I'm a double down. Let's see what happens, you know? And I'm hoping I've gotten enough success, like in little chunks along the way, to be like, I'm going to keep going. And then every now and then I get a message on Instagram that's like, this podcast makes me want to eat a gun. And you're like, oh, fun. Yeah. Cool. All right, cool. Sorry, man. Just trying to Chase my dream. Sorry, it makes you want to end your life.
What does it say? If you got haters and you made it?
Well, then, I'll be hosting the Oscars next year. You do get positive reinforcement. There's lots of people that watch the podcast and will reach out to me and say, hey, I loved this episode, or hey, I love this clip or whatever. And I am so beyond thankful for any and everyone who's ever watched a clip and liked or shared with a friend. Like, you have no idea how much it means to me that I've had any success whatsoever with it. But, you know, every now and then you get one of those comments and you're like, it's like 50 good comments and then one bad one. And you're like, all right.
It's those bad ones that stick out. You know, it's like you can get, like you said, you can get 50 good ones and then, you know, you're thankful for all those, but then you get one bad one. And that's always the one that kind of seems to stick in your head.
Oh, well, it's not even like the worst part is that they're so funny, you know? And it's like, as a comedian, I have to laugh at this. I have to acknowledge like, damn, that's a good burn. Okay. All right.
You should comment back. Like, damn, that was a good one.
I've started saying things like, thanks for the support and things like that. You know, just like, appreciate you paying, appreciate you watching, you know, like,
Thanks for giving me a new bit. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't realize I had Shrek type 2. Okay. Fun. Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day because somebody asked if they were like, oh, if you were a superhero, what power would you have? And I feel like I'd be like the reverse Hulk, you know, where it's like I'm like a big guy all the time. And then I get sad and I just like, like that's my superpower. It's like depression. You know, yeah, I go from Hulk to Eeyore like very quickly.
Oh, that's fucking great, man. So you've worked with some kind of big name comics, right?
Yeah, I've been very lucky. It's kind of crazy because like some of them you don't realize, you know, they're like, I met Aaron Weber a few years ago, and it was right as the Nate Land podcast started. And I got, you know, I worked a weekend, I hosted for him. He's a great guy, hung out, whatever. And then now he's like, taking off. And it's like kind of cool to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like I have buddies send me videos of a comedian and it's like, yeah, I worked with him. Oh, like somebody will send me a Hans Kim video and it's like, oh, yeah. I hung out with him one night. Big J. Okerson when he was at Helium for a very brief amount of time. But it was still like we hung out and talked about football. Like it was just cool. Cam Patterson, like all these, like especially all my friends that are into Kill Tony. They always send me like the Kill Tony. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've met Cam. They're like, oh, you met Cam Patterson? What was it like?
And I
was
like, I like rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's exactly what you think hanging out with Cam Patterson. He told me I was big and then he called me the N-word. And it's like, that's a pretty authentic Cam Patterson experience.
Term of endearment.
Yeah.
So is there anybody that you think's like surprised you the most or given you any good pieces of advice that you've worked with? Like any of the, like the bigger name guys?
George Wallace, who... If you're not a huge comedy fan, you might not know who George Wallace is, but he's been famous. He's been doing it for 50 years. You know, he's been on a million movies and TV shows and stuff like that. But he was so cool and so nice and so like complimentary and stuff like that in the green room, which sometimes you get with a, you know, you get partnered up with a headliner and you're like, well, this is going to be a long weekend. You know, they're like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't. You know,
how often does that happen?
Not very often. Yeah. I would say 98% of people that come through a comedy club are cool dudes who are just like, yeah, let's have fun. This is going to be a great show, blah, 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 blah. You know, and then every now and then you get somebody and you're like, okay, this is going to be a long 3 days. Yeah. But no, George Wallace was so crazy, so awesome. And it was cool because he's somebody my parents knew. So, like, I took a picture and sent it to them, and they were like, you met George Wallace? And, like, yeah. He said I was funny. They're like, oh, that's so awesome. He did a show at Helium, sold out. He made someone in the crowd laugh so hard, they fell out of their chair and hit their head. And it became, like, a kind of thing where, like, they had to get the lights up. Paramedics came, took them out on a stretcher, blah, 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 blah. And at the time, we didn't know what happened. And somebody was like, I think she died. Like, I think she... And so I went back in the green room and I was like, hey, I think that lady passed away. And he just goes, that's seven. He's like, when I get to 10, I'm quitting. Like, I was like, what? Turns out she was fine. She just had like low blood sugar and was laughing so hard she fell. And thankfully she's okay and recovered. But it's just it's so funny that I was like, you literally killed. And he's like, well, that's seven.
Dog, that's awesome. Great.
Holy shit. Oh man. So starting a business in entertainment sounds pretty insane. What's been the biggest holy shit moment so far?
COVID. Yeah. Yeah. 2 years after I started comedy, it just stopped. Everything just shut down. And it's like, I went from, you know, it was still pretty much a hobby at that point, but also, you know, your whole goal is get better. 7 to 10 sets a week, 5 nights a week, going. And then all of a sudden, everything's closed. And you're not, like, they shut down comedy clubs for a really long time. And then when they opened them up, there was crazy, like, seating situations. And, you know, you had to wear a mask, and then you had to cover the microphone. And then they put up, like, plexiglass. And they were, like, trying all these different things. And it was so bad. Like, it was just like, what are we? Plus, people didn't want to go out,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And it shut down every open mic. There was one comedy club in O'Fallon, Missouri that was like, be cool. You know? Yeah. Like, they were like, hey, we've been told we're not supposed to be open, but
we're open.
We're open. Yeah, yeah. And it was like, and that was, you know, that was fun, but it was 2.5 hours away from my house, and it was only once a week. And so you'd sign up online Monday mornings, and sometimes you wouldn't get on the list, and I would drive up anyway because I'm like, who knows? First of all, comics are very emotional people, so it's like it gets cloudy out, and people are like, oh, I have seasonal depression, and then they stay home, you know? Which, not to make fun of people with depression because I suffer from it too, but it's like, I also get jealous sometimes when people are like, oh, I have seasonal depression. It's like, well, he's part-time.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, your mental disability is like on and off. Like, yeah. Mine puts in 80 hours a week. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
not. Oh, man. So have you dealt with any sort of, like, I mean, obviously cancel culture, people are a lot more sensitive, you know, nowadays. Have you ever, like, kind of dealt with anything like that?
Not really. It's really not. Especially in St. Louis. St. Louis is such a great city for comedy because it is a deeply red state, but St. Louis is kind of like a blue city. But so it's like a real purple area.
Yeah.
And you can go to different neighborhoods here and try out the same joke in front of different crowds, and you just tweak it a little bit, you know? And so, like, if I have a joke that... Well, first of all, I don't ever try to do anything offensive. I don't like to swear on stage. In fact, I record every set. Every time I swear on stage, I make myself do 31 push-ups because when I was in the Marines, I was in 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines. So it's like if you screwed up, you would have to do 31 push-ups. So now when I listen back to my set, I'm like, oh, I said shit. You know, you get down and, like, you know, you're just like, it's just like a discipline thing.
Man, I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
I'd have the most ripped chest in all of comedy.
Yeah, you think I'd look better with it. It's like, oh, wow, you must be really good at not swearing. but there's every now and then you get somebody come up to you and be like, hey, what was that that you said? Cause like you try out a joke and you try out, you know, a certain wording and you're like, oh, I can see how that makes it sound kind of bad. Let me try it this way. And then it's like, oh, okay. So like, you know, I've done shows where I'm the only white person in the entire room, you know? And I love doing that because I love testing out the material and being like, oh, does it work here? Does it work in the Grove, which is
yeah.
the kind of gay neighborhood. Yeah. Say, I don't know if you can say that. I was like, I'm like, cancer culture isn't bad.
The gays. You know, like,
no, but those are the most supportive crowds, honestly. And
well, very inclusive.
Yeah. Because people want to have fun. You know, people like online, everyone's offended. But out in the real world, most people realize like, oh, okay, this is just a joke. Or like, hey, this is coming from a place of like lighthearted fun, you know? And it's okay to like take little jabs at people, you know, that for the most part, I think everybody's they just wanna have a good time, you know? Yeah. Now, I mean, I have seen people go up and be like, they say the most vile things ever, and then people get offended and they're like, why are they attacking me? And it's like, well, because I also want to attack you, and it has nothing to do with my lifestyle choices at all.
Speaking of wild, what's the wildest show you've done or like a heckler moment that you've experienced?
One of the biggest like gut checks in the world was I did a show at the Funny Bone one time, and Yakov Smirnoff showed up.
I don't know who that is.
He was a really big comic in the 80s and 90s. He's from Russia.
His last name is Smirnoff.
Yeah, his name is Yakov Smirnoff. He's
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, he's kind of like a comedy legend, and he's a great guy, awesome guy. But he showed up at the Funny Bone one night and just said, "Hey, can I go do 10 minutes? I'm trying out this new bit I want to work out." And they were like, well, yeah. Because, I mean, his painting is, like, on the wall at the Funny Bone. Like, he's one of the legends, you know?
Sure.
And they were like, well, absolutely. So he goes right in front of me. And I don't know he's there. I don't recognize him.
You.
He was wearing a baseball cap, and he's not super tall. And so I'm like, who's this guy standing next to me, you know? And the host is on stage, and I'm thinking he's getting ready to bring me up. And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest for you tonight. He is a comedy legend. Please welcome Yakov Smirnoff, like that. And I started taking two steps, and I was like, wait, that's not my name. and it was like when he was like, he's a comedy legend. I was like, well, that's nice. Nice, Andy. That's so cool, like that. And he goes up and just destroys for 10-12 minutes or whatever, and the audience that night was, I'd say, mostly middle-aged, 50 to 60, so, like, they were his fan group, you know? Like, when he was big, they were, like, our age, and so when they announce his name, the crowd just goes nuts. Well, he gets off stage.
Weren't expecting him either, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a surprise, which happens a lot at comedy clubs. You have no idea. Like, sometimes people are just like, hey, I'm in town. Could I do something? You're like,
yeah, please.
Absolutely. And so he gets off stage and the host goes, guys, give it up one more time for Yakov Smirnoff. Room goes nuts. And he goes, all right, let's keep it going. We got your next comic come to the stage. Please give a big round of applause for Eric Rustler, like that. And there is no claps. It is so dead silent. And as I'm walking to the stage, I just hear someone from the back go, who? And I was like, okay, fun. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right.
Dig myself out of this hole.
Yeah.
Like, right. Who am I? Yeah. What am I doing with my life right now?
Yeah. So that's probably like, that was the biggest, because it's like when someone heckles, most of the time they're drunk. So they're like, I have, and you're like, what did you say? And then they don't want to repeat it. And it's just like a weird, like, okay, we just pulled the e-brake for a second. And now we're going, all right, let's keep going, you know? But then when somebody says something like that, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, ooh, gut punch. Yeah. All right, fun.
Do you have any, like, planned bits for when somebody heckles? Like, just shit you have stored up?
I say not really, but I feel like if I was thinking about it longer, I'd probably have, like, a couple things to be like, oh, here's a tool to deal with this situation, or here's something to deal with this, but I also try to be like, as I have a set of like, I'm going to do these jokes tonight, but how we get to each joke could change. Or sometimes you just got to be like fluid in the moment, because if somebody yells something out and you're not expecting it or like you're not ready to deal with it, it's like clunky and people were like, oh, that's weird. He didn't acknowledge mm-hmm. what just happened.
He must have not heard her. What's your writing process like? Do you like, how do you come up with material? Is it like real life stuff or a lot of stuff you make up or?
It's real life stuff. So like, I'm trying to, the goal of like every comic I feel like is to build an hour of material that you could then like record and put out. So I'm building my hour and most of it is like being married, being a dad to my son, being a dad to my daughter. I have like an 8-minute chunk on going to church, you know, like I have like all kinds, like you're just trying to add, like, how does it, this story flow? But also I'm just trying to get 10,000 hours of stage time as well. So it's like anything that comes up, you know, any premise might be like, oh, okay, this might be something you write down. I'll write down like one or two words to remind me like, oh yeah, I was going to talk about this, you know, and I can just glance at my phone. And then if I try it out on stage and it kind of gets a pop, I'll write it down and in like a loose, I call it like a loose form, because then it's like, all right, I have a loose understanding of why this is funny. How do I make it really funny? You know, what do I chop out now? Like if you write 3 sentences, try to say it in 1. You know what I mean? If you write 4, you know, paragraphs, try to say it in 2. Like you're just always trying to like trim the fat, tighten it. Because I don't know. I just feel like I want it to be like boom, 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 boom. You know, no dry spots, no long setups. Like those are the comics I respect. Like Sam Talent. Yeah. Like you saw the other night. So good. He came out and from the second he came out, it was like boom, 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 boom. Just joke, 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 joke. And then to the point where you were like, oh wow, he's not gonna stop. Yeah. Like
my stomach hurt.
You laugh and laugh and laugh, and you're like, some comics are like set up punchline and then pause and then set up punchline, you know, like that. And he was just like, nope. Boom, boom, he's boom. Like, yep, I'm at the wheel. We're going, you know. Yeah. So that's what I want to get to. Yeah.
So how often are you writing?
Every day. And it doesn't mean I'm like sitting down silently with a notebook, writing pages and pages and pages.
Do you use a notebook or put it on your phone?
It starts on my phone and then it goes to the notebook to like, be like, okay, cause you can really see how long a joke is when it's written down. When it's on your phone, you're like, oh, well, that's not that big. And then you write it on paper and you're like, that is a lot longer than I thought, you know? And then I go through, but I like to edit on my phone because it doesn't feel permanent. Something about when it's written down, that's when it's like set, you know? And so if I'm trying to learn a joke, like keep it, like memorize it, I'll write it down without looking and then be like, what comes next? Okay. Yeah. This one. Okay. And this line. And then you read it, it just helps you rearrange it too sometimes, like to be like, I think I like this part here better. And then you try it out and you're like, okay, that does work, you know, or no, it doesn't. And then you switch it back. So
do you like sprinkle it in, like the new stuff in with stuff you know works, like when you're on stage?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I love to sandwich it like a new bit between 2 that I know work.
Yeah, no work. Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, this might have legs or
that didn't work.
No, that didn't work. All right. Time to bring it back up with this. Sandwiching it is a great way to try out new things. I also will always try to move like my closer joke around because it's like your closer should technically be the best one of your whole set. So if you put it in the middle, then that means this part needs to get elevated. So it's like, how do I take this chunk that wasn't quite great and bring it up? You know, move it up a little bit.
Wow. Okay.
Dude, yeah. You just, yeah.
it's gotta be like a Tetris thing, you know,
Yeah. I'm also kind of a crazy person. So I obsess over it, you know, and I spend so much time just thinking about things like, and also my, I don't know if it's ADD, ADHD, whatever, but sometimes like, I feel like I'm not driving the bus, you know, and the thoughts just come And my wife gets so mad at me sometimes because she'll want to talk about like a budget or like, oh, well, our insurance is due and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I don't know. Seaweed? Know it's seaweed? Or is it just like, you know, like, she's like, she's just like, oh, you're a toddler, you know?
You're a child.
Hey guys, thanks for following along. We appreciate all your guys' support in following us and subscribing to our show. Part of that is putting out quality product. One of those issues that we just came across with our camera on this episode, it did cut out on us. And so for this, the rest of the show is going to be audio only.
Yeah, so sorry about that, guys. You know, we try to do our best, but we were just lost in the conversation and didn't catch it turn off on us. So we weren't able to correct that, but you know, for those of you watching on YouTube, it's going to be audio only from here on out. Now back to the show.
Like, you know, I'm kind of funny, you know, but she's also 16. So it's like, she doesn't, you know,
she likes to stir shit up.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I think if I ever pointed out a comic and I'm like, I love this comic, she would be like, I hate him instantly. You know, just sometimes. She's not bad. She's not that.
How old's your son?
Nine. Yeah. He still thinks I'm funny because, you know, we can
talk about farts and
stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, now, do you think, obviously comedy can get pretty personal, but do you think, you know, you think humor is more about honesty or skillful deception?
I think it's honesty because, I mean, you can tell a story and tweak it, you know, and be like, okay, did this really happen? And it's like, no, it was two separate stories and I put it into one. And I don't consider that deception. I just consider it like, okay, I'm trying to, first of all, the goal is laughter, you know? So it's like this, I think if I put these two together, it's going to make you laugh. Then if I was like, one day I did this and then another day I did this, let's condense it, you know? But also I just think that honesty, people can see through lies. Like, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like when someone's lying to me, I kind of get this like weird, like buzzy feeling almost. And it's just like something you're saying is not right. Like something is you're lying to me and I don't know why. Mm. So I try to be as honest as possible. When I talk about my family, first of all, when I talk about my wife, when I talk about my kids, I'm never making fun of them. I'm making fun of me not knowing how to react to them because I don't ever want something to come out that would embarrass my kids, you know, especially because today, the age of TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everything.
It'll get back to them.
Yeah, it'll get back to them. Like my daughter tells me all the time that she'll walk down the hall and she'll see people on their phone and they're watching one of my videos from my podcast.
That's cool.
And sometimes she's like, yeah, I was walking down the hall and so Billy, whatever, was watching one of your videos. And I was like, oh, yeah, did he like it? And she goes, nah, he said it was the dumbest thing he's ever seen. I was like, oh, cool.
Cool, thanks.
So it's nothing like it's one thing to, at least they're calling me a loser. You know, it's not like they're walking, yeah, Dad, my friend saw your video and they called me an idiot. It's like, no, they called you an idiot. It's like, oh, okay, well, good. I'm glad you had a good day.
Glad fine. School was good today.
Cool, fine.
Well, sometimes I think about, it's one of the cool parts about having a podcast is sometimes I think about this as like a kind of like a time capsule, like that I look back at like, oh man, like it would have been really cool to see my dad when he was in his, you know, early to mid 30s, you know, sitting around and talking for hours and hours, you know, and kind of getting his perspective. And, you know, I look at that, I was like, oh, you know, in 10 years, 15 years when my kids, I'm sure, you know, I hope YouTube's still a thing then.
Yeah,
but they could go back and, you know, watch hours and hours and hours, you know, right. I always think like if something were to ever happen to me, you know, and I got into a car accident tomorrow,
right.
You know, my 3-year-old son could go back and I'm like, hey man, here's a couple hundred, you know, here's 100 episodes of your dad talking for, you know, an hour and a half each. Kind of a cool concept.
It is a cool concept. It is a very cool thing. And I, one of the great things is that like, I've had my wife and kids on my podcast.
Oh, really?
And yeah, we've done a couple episodes together and it's like once every 9 months or so, I'll be like, hey, you guys want to come do one? And they're like, yeah, sure. We'll come. And we make a night of it, and it is fun because it's like timestamps of our family life. And there was one I did, one of the first episodes I ever did was with my son, just a solo episode. And he was probably 7, maybe 6 at the time, actually. And it's crazy because it's like he's little and he's got like a little boy haircut and little boy clothes. And we talk about dinosaurs. Yeah. And
what's the best dinosaur?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Parasaurolophus.
especially, yeah, the way you do your show, it could be fun for kids to do, right. You know, like, you know,
yeah, it's just
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's like, the best chip? What's the best? It's funny because I make slides and I put them on a screen and you know, I set them up for all kinds of different comics and, you know, mostly business owners and stuff like that. But every now and then, you know, I change the slides around. And the last time I did a podcast with my family, I scrolled down, the next slide popped up, and it was like, what's the best way to hide a body? Like, it was like, we're gonna skip that one. And then my kids were like, Dad, what is the best way to hide a body? And I was like, well, what you want to do is.
Yeah. Find a friend with a pig farm.
First of all, call your father, okay? Don't call the police, put your phone in, plug it in, then leave the house.
Yeah, don't bring your phone with you.
No, don't bring your phone with you, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that'd be fun though. Once our boys are old enough to get them on, that'd be fun. Yeah, I guess we could. Connor's 6. I guess we could probably.
Yeah, he's probably. Yeah, Calvin. There's no way we're gonna get him to sit in a chair for. Sitting anywhere for more than 5 minutes is a chore.
Well, it's fun. I've had him up here a couple times, and they'll sit back here, and I'll have the TV going for them, and I'll walk up front and come back, and they're sitting here in front of the mics, and they're talking to each other back and forth, and I'm like,
kids actually love it because they don't have that. And they're good at it too, because they don't have that like
insecurity.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like a lot of times adults, they put on this act of like, oh, this is who I am, you know, or they pretend to be cool or whatever. And then you get in front of a camera and a mic and they're like, oh, they're going to see through me, you know, like, and kids don't have that. Kids are just like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious. Next time you leave the room, just hit record. Over there. Just see what they talk about. Set up.
Well, also, when my daughter was young, like long before I ever started comedy, she used to like, when she was like little, like 5, she would pick up like a remote and stuff and be like, hey guys, welcome back to blah, 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 blah.
And like,
she would,
and subscribe.
Yeah. She would just say stuff like that. Cause that's what she saw, you know? And she was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. I've seen my wife's cousins, you know, they've got kids. I think they're like, you know, 8, 9 and like, they'll get on their mom's phone and say like and subscribe and like stuff like that. And it's like, wow, it's crazy hearing them say that.
Cause when I was doing early videos, when I was just recording at home and, hey, this is Pat with Guild Mortgage, like intro or whatever. You know, a couple times I had Connor on there and he'd be like, hey, this is Pat with Guild Mortgage. Like, he's like 3 years old. I'm like, all right, buddy. So.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of your daughter, so you adopted her?
Yeah. So she is from my wife's first marriage. Not to get too deep into that, but. Her biological dad abandoned her, and there's a whole backstory on that. But then I met her mom when she was, I believe she was 2 when we met, and then I met her right after she turned 3. And then we got married 2 years later. We actually got married a year later, but then we kept it a secret because...
Surprise, everybody.
Yeah. So I was going off on deployment, and when you're deployed, if you're married, you get extra money. And well, you get extra money anyway if you're married, but also it would include her in like healthcare and, you know, all kinds of benefits and stuff. So we got married in secret, and then I was sending money home so she could send our daughter to preschool. And then when I came back from deployment, then we had our actual wedding. It was just 1 year later. So like the day we got married, we were in a rose garden at a park. We met a pastor there. I gave him $35. It took about 10 minutes. And then we went to Long John Silver's. And then I took her back to work. I dropped her off back at work. So that's our big romance story.
John Silver's is my favorite part of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, babe, you want to get some hush puppies and get hitched?
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Well, actually, I'm pretty sad because the Long John Silver's we went to just closed down, and they're turning it into a dispensary, and it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's annoying. It's like, this is where we had our wedding dinner, you know?
Well, now I can go buy some weed there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you've built a career around making people laugh. Have you ever found...
I'm so sorry. I just realized I kind of didn't really answer the adoption question at all. We got sidetracked. Yeah, but when she was... And then, you know, we lived in California for 2 years, and then we came back, and we kind of had to fight a little bit of a legal battle with, you know, custody and things like that. And then when she was 9, I adopted her, and that's it. Yeah. But she's always called me dad, and I've always called her my daughter. It's crazy because a lot of times people will see pictures of the two of us and they're like, oh, she has your eyes. Oh, she looks like you, you know? And we kind of look at each other and like laugh. And she used to do this thing where we would go to a gas station together and she would be like, she would say like, she was like, hey, you want to like do the thing where she would ask for something and I'd be like, no, we're not buying any more chips. And then she would be like, you're not my real dad, like that. And then like, I'd be like, I'm going to unadopt you, you know, like, and then, you know, and we would pretend and like the cashier's just like,
so get her in on the comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome. So I was saying you've built your career around making people laugh. Have you ever found that comedy is also a defense mechanism for you?
Yeah. Everything about me is like a, you know, I get in so much trouble for making jokes at the wrong time. And it's like my wife yelled at me the other day because we were at church and my son was, he was like helping with something and he was like behind the pastor. And the pastor was like praying and he had his eyes closed and I was making eye contact with my son and being like, you know, like doing like burn. And you could see him like trying not to laugh. And my wife was like, stop it. Stop it. But yeah, my go-to instinct is to just make jokes. And, I don't know why I do it. I guess it's some type of defense mechanism as like a, hey, I'm sad, but well, you know, but actually, the first time I ever got in trouble for saying a joke was I went to a private Christian school, like kindergarten through fifth grade. And in first grade, my grandfather like fell. He had like a stroke. And so when I went to school and they were like, oh, do we have any prayer requests today? I was like, oh, I do. My grandpa fell and they think he had a like stroke, and I did like the rowing motion, you know what I mean? And a room full of first graders crushed, you know, absolutely. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a good one. Well, unfortunately, he passed away. And so like 2 hours later, my dad came and picked me up. We go back to my grandmother's house. We're all sitting there. Everybody's sad. My aunt comes running in the room because this is before cell phones. And she's like, what happened? And I'm like,
oh, here
you go. And I was like, they think he had a stroke. And I do it again. And I got to maybe the second or third one, and my mom was like, nah! Like that, and like jumped up and like grabbed me and ran. She's like, why'd you say that? And I was like, I thought it was funny.
It killed in front of the first
kid. Yeah. I was like, it killed, like grandpa.
Oh, my God. Great. What would you say your perspective is on success? Do you measure it in laughs, legacy, or something else?
I just recently started doing this and holding myself accountable to who and where was I at this time last year? Because if I try to hold myself to like when I came in, I was looking at your studio and I'm like, man, I could be doing more. And I started to like, this is, I need to catch up. You guys are ahead. Or, you know, what you look at a comic and you're like, he's selling more tickets than I am, or he's making more money than me, but it's very negative. And I try to like stop doing that and being like, yes, but this time last year, I was only getting paid $20 a show, but now this year it's this, or last year, this time last March, I had three paid gigs the entire month. Now I have 16, you know, and it's like, I'm going to try to hold myself to the standard of, you know, like, this is how I should measure success is look what it used to be. Look where you are now. Keep going. You know what I mean?
Dude, I love that.
That's awesome.
Because I'm sure you guys see it. Sorry.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You played baseball. I'm sure there was there tons of that, like, in the locker room? Did you ever do that? Or were you trying to be like, this is me. This is where I'm at. This is where I was, you know? Or did you be like, oh, this guy has more home runs or this guy?
I mean, yeah, there's always that comparison because you're always trying to push, like, I mean, baseball is weird because, yeah, you're playing on a team sport, but in pro ball, you're fighting for 25 positions in the big leagues. So, there's guys that were rooting for other guys to fail. So that's kind of kind of how that worked. It wasn't so much comparison and like where I'm at now versus where they are. It was more like, you know, guys would be like, oh, I hope this guy fails so I can just go out and be mediocre and just do enough to get by instead of getting better. I was never like that. There was one time towards the end of my career where, you know, they had just signed this new pitcher in the first round of that year. Mm-hmm. And he could have been a first rounder as a position player too. Guy was just a stud, made to the big leagues for a long time. And they were rushing him through the minor league system as a pitcher to kind of keep him from, because he wanted to hit. And they're like, well, you're going to make it to the big leagues faster as a pitcher. And so they were rushing him through the system, which, you're spending a year at each level. And, I mean, they rushed him through four levels real quick, and they bumped him to double A before they bumped me up. And I was like, this is bullshit. That was one of the few times, because I bailed his ass out a few times when he pitched. But, yeah, I mean, it was like, man, if I threw as hard as he did, or if I, you know, I would be there. Like, but that was about the most of that.
That's crazy, because that reminds me of the military a lot. I mean, and comedy. Like, you'll see people who get opportunities, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
How did they get that, you know, or whatever? Or guys in the military get promoted ahead of you, and you're like, he's an alcoholic. Like, what? You know? And then you realize, like, yeah, but I guess there's things that I could be doing differently.
Right.
Like, and then you know, that was one of the biggest realizations I had when I got out of the military, was that, like, I didn't put in the effort. Like, I knew, like, I would do what I had to do, but I never did above and beyond. And then I realized, like, oh, that's what it takes. Like, that too moves up. The people who put in the extra work, the people who are dedicated to this, are the ones that move up. The ones that are like, I'm here because I have to be, like, you're going to stay where you're at. And that's a big mindset that I took into comedy, of like, you do what you have to so you can do what you want to. Yeah. You know?
I think that's just like a success mindset in general, no matter what field it is. I mean, you know, you kind of have to go above and beyond to be exceptional at anything.
Right. Yeah. And we've said it multiple times in the show, that, you know, the thief of joy is comparison. Or comparison is a thief of joy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that you know, we can sit here because there's, you know, we got a buddy that started a podcast after us and he's crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could sit here and be like, well, why aren't we doing that? But we just, we're focusing on what we got and what we're doing and going on from there. So
speaking of somebody who started a podcast after you, Yakov Smirnoff, who we just talked about, he started a podcast. And when he was talking about it, he called Helium and was like, hey, do you know any comedians that run a podcast? I have some questions or whatever. So they called me. They were like, hey, we know you have a podcast. Do you want to come talk to this guy? And I was like, sure. And then I get there and it's Yakov. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I was just explaining to him, you know, like, well, you want to do this and you kind of want to stay away from doing stuff like this. And okay, that's a good idea. You might try to chop up into segments or do this, or, you know, these microphones are better than these microphones. And you should really get a, you know, if you can get an editor, get somebody who can help you produce and stuff. And, he was very, very friendly, very receptive, very everything. He's like, yeah, I'm going to start here in a few weeks. That was 3-4 months ago. His podcast gets like 150,000 downloads an episode or something like that. Like, and his Instagram has taken off and he didn't have it 6 months ago. But also, you know, he put in all that work
for years,
years and years.
Before podcasts and Instagram and social media were even a thing.
Right. So it's like, if I compare myself to that, I'm going to be like, ugh, how did he do that so quickly? But I'm not realizing he's literally from the Soviet Union and had to immigrate to the United States, learn English, learn, you know what I mean? Like, he did so much work before I was even born. So it's like, I can't really compare myself to him, you know? And there's a lot. And I mean, every day, six new podcasts pop up with people who are more successful than me.
Right.
And is that it takes stat? Off.
Six podcasts a day?
I'm sure it's
something like that. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But
I've heard that there are more podcasts in America than citizens.
Really? Oh, shit.
Yeah. They say that there's average about three podcasts. Well, because the thing is, like, they don't ever count it once it goes inactive, you know? So it's like you put out one episode.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast, you know? And they said that if you have a podcast that makes it past 25 episodes, you're in the top 1% or whatever.
Yeah,
we did a whole episode on that.
Like when we
Okay.
hit that number and we're like, we made it.
And that was the thing is, like, we hit it in like, what, 2 months? Because we were doing so many episodes and we're like, wait, what? Like, we're in the top 1% of, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
all right, let's keep going.
That's the whole, I mean, I think that's the whole key to, like, I mean, not key, but I mean, it's one of the keys to being successful with a podcast is just being consistent. I mean, just like anything else, though. I mean, just like exercise, just like, you know, whatever it is, your career, you have to be consistent. Like, otherwise, if you're not showing up every single day, every single week, you know, if you're only putting out, you know, one episode, you know, every 3 weeks, every, you know, and then you fall off, you don't put one out for another, you know, 2 months, and then it's like, you're not going to grow that following unless you have, you know, some following outside of that. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah. And it's the effort you put in behind the camera, not just in front of the camera. Because, like, this, I don't know about you guys, but to me, this is the fun part.
Oh, this is
the part I love.
Yes.
It's as soon as we cut, as soon as, you know, whatever, then it's, okay, the lighting was a little off, time to tweak that. Or I need to make new graphics. Or how do I make this better? Let's chop it up into segments, or let's include some comments, or let's do that. You know, it's constant tweaking and emailing and every little thing is spending $60 on a new cable because this one doesn't work anymore, or readjusting the furniture, or doing all this. You know, it's like, that's when it becomes like, okay, this is what it takes to, you know.
Honestly, like, for us, I can speak for Zach on this, but I mean, that's all, like, part of the process. I mean, you also do your editing and start producing, right? Because we don't do any of that shit. Like, if it wasn't for Murph handling our production and the editing and the chopping of the reels and the shorts and all that, like, all we have to do is the fun part, this part right here. And then, yeah, dealing, like, having conversations about how we want, like, the direction of the podcast and if there's anything we want to add or change. Like, but for me, I think that part is also fun. It's just, you know, it's been a fun ride, and I like, you know, the things that we're coming up with and the ideas that we're coming up with that are constantly changing. So
it's, I mean, great. You guys are, it's great. This is a great I mean, it's fun, you know,
thanks. But thanks. Appreciate it, man.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's therapy for us. I mean, coming in here every week, being able to just chat and hang out with people, it's been a blast.
Well, I know that I would not put this much effort into anything else.
Right.
You know, and it's like, even the things that are annoying of like, hey, I need to go rearrange the lights or buy a new cable or do this or do that. I'm like, okay, well, at least I'm not selling insurance, you know, or at least I'm not on deployment right now. So it's like, I think I can go buy an XLR cable today.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
How many times did you go on deployment?
Twice. Yep.
Where'd you go?
So my first deployment, I was, we were an expeditionary unit. We were technically Raiders, which then that term got adopted into the Marine Corps, special forces. So when I'm like, oh, I was a Raider, people are like, you were MARSOC? And it's like, nah, we were like, you know, like if you're baseball, it's like, So that's another thing about comparison is that everybody's like, oh, well, you did this and you did that. And it's like, yeah, but I wasn't as good as these guys, you know, like, because that's all the military is. It's just 100% like guys being like, well, you did two deployments, but you never did three deployments, you know? And then another guy's like, yeah, but you didn't lose a leg, like, you know? And then another guy's like, well, yeah, but you didn't get a silver star, you know? And it just, because it's a bunch of dudes. It's a, you know, you're just, part of it is talking shit, but the other part of it is like, you know, you want to keep people in check too. Like, I can't stand it when some military guys are like, I'm the biggest badass. And it's like, no, you're not. Mm. Not compared. There's 10 other people out there that could kick your ass, you know? So also stop, you know.
Eh. Do you talk about the military a lot in any of your material?
Not really, actually. I've always saved. There's definitely stories that I've saved because I want to be a better writer before I take a swing at it, because I kind of feel like you only get one shot, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, if I put this out now, that story's gone, you know? Like, and it's like, what if 10 years from now I could make that story even better? And then, you know, I don't want to burn it right. while I'm still here. You know, I want to wait till I'm here. And also, like, I try not to cuss on stage. And so that means that there's a lot of stories that I can't tell about the military, sure. you know, yeah. like when I was growing up, you know, there's the F word, yeah. right? And nowadays there are two F words, like, yeah. you know what I mean? It's like my nickname in the Marine Corps was both of those back to back. So it's like, it kind of makes some things hard to retell.
And so you've been doing this for, you know, almost 7 years. If you had to go back and talk to Eric from 7 years ago when he was getting started, what would you do anything differently? Or would you tell him like, hey man, don't do this, like avoid this or do this?
I would definitely say keep going. Because there were so many times where I was this close to quitting and then a phone call would come in the last second and be like, hey, are you available this date? And it gives you another month of like hope, like to keep the spark alive. But I would just, you know, just reiterate, keep going. It gets better. It's gonna keep getting better. You're gonna be okay. Cause it was super scary in the very beginning, a wife, two kids. I had a job selling cars. Then I got, you know, my disability money. And I was like, even if I start comedy, you lose way more money than you make, especially in those first couple of years with travel and gas. And, you know, you got to spend $80 in gas driving to Cincinnati and back to make $0, you know? Yeah. So it's like, these are just expensive, like hobby trips almost. And there were so many times where I was just like, what am I doing? I should stop. And so to just reiterate, like, keep going. I don't know that I would definitely tell myself, hey, record your sets, record every single one and watch them. Because I was really good at taking like voice notes and listening to it on the drive. But I didn't start like videoing it until probably about 3 years ago now. And then I was like, oh, why do I stand like that? Oh, what is this face? Oh, this looks disgusting. Don't wear that shirt ever again. You know, like, like, and I, ever since when you watch it, you start to notice little things and you're like, oh, this matters too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't grow your beard out for 3 months and keep it like all crazy and untrimmed. Cause you look like crap and people are going to think this dude looks like crap. It's like, try to look nice. Yeah. And which I've never been one of those guys.
No, I feel like there's some comics that like kind of come off that way. Or like they like come off like their whole thing is they're a mess.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah.
Look at Zach Galifianakis, you know? Yeah. I feel like he's one of those guys. That
yeah.
Just, another clean comic. He's a clean comic too.
Yeah. Right.
You know, or kind of.
Ish. Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
At least, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Zach Galifianakis.
Not super filthy,
yeah.
but
yeah. 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 Not super filthy. Yeah. Now, who would you say is like some of your favorites? Like, if you had, like, you know, somebody, some guys you look up to, like some of your favorite, like, big headliners.
Oh, I mean, Sam Talent, like we said, yeah, because he's, you know, like I really respect the quickness of like how many jokes can he fit in a minute, you know? because when I started, my goal was I have 5 minutes on stage. I'm going to try to get one big laugh. And I got one big laugh. And then I'm like, okay, now I need to get two. And then you break it down. And you're like, now I need to get four. Now I need to get. And now I'm at the point where it's like every 15 seconds, there needs to be a laugh. Well, he was doing every 5 seconds, you know? So I'm like, oh, there's more work to do, you know? And so I respect that. I respect Nate Bargatze because, I mean, he's squeaky clean. Oh, yes. He can sell tickets to a 10-year-old or a 90-year-old and won't offend any of them. And everybody has a good time. That's why he's so
he's huge.
Successful right now. Yeah. And that was a big, eye opener to be like, oh, okay, the world doesn't need another dirty comic.
Dick joke.
Yeah. And it's like, you can talk about some like you can suggest things without saying them, you know? And that was a big like realization to like, because like you take a little old grandmother who goes to church every day and will never swear or never do anything, but she knows what a honeymoon's for, you know? And it's like, so you can allude to it, but you don't have to say it, you know? And then you get her on board and she laughs just like the 20-year-old laughs, just like, you know? So it's like, there's
longevity in it.
Yeah.
I mean, cause you look at guys like, look at Dane Cook. I mean, that guy was hot for like what?
Yeah.
Five years, six years.
That's kind of who got me into stand-up, like back in like...
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the first shows I went to when I was in, and I went in college. I drove back here to St. Louis to see him live, and it was great.
The Kool-Aid Man bit was like,
oh my gosh,
fucking killed in eighth
that
grade.
And the Burger King. Burger King bit. Yeah.
Sweet and sour sauce.
That's crazy. My son and I ate Chinese food last night and he got sweet and sour chicken, and I saw the sauce and I immediately that popped up just, and I was like, I almost said it out loud, and I was like, no, sex with like a sorority sister. And it's like, ugh, dude.
Like your daughter.
Fucking, who's this creepy grandpa on stage?
Don't you have an AARP meeting to go to?
Oh, man. That's great. So, well, what are some goals and things that you have moving forward for the rest of this year and years to come?
Oh, that's a great question. I actually meet with a group of comics every week, and we write out goals for, you know, 1 year goal, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year. And, like for goal for this year is to put on and produce several different comedy shows, like all around the cities, like, you know, kind of like we did here at Adventure Unknown a few months ago. I'm doing one at Spark where I have my, where I record my podcast at.
Oh, cool.
April 18th. it's going to be fun. And like we got Katie's Pizza catering it, and we'll have drinks and stuff like that, but it'll be a fun show. I booked comics that I like, so hopefully people will want to come out and see it.
Send us the details on that. And
we'll
post it on here.
The flyer is getting made probably as we speak. So, as soon as I get it, I'll send it to you.
You said April 18th.
Yep.
Oh, sweet.
Yep. It's going to be fun. We got a pretty cool setup, where like the arch is going to be in the background, you know, and stuff like that. And it's going to be a good time. And Spark is just a cool place to hang out downtown next to Busch Stadium, and the Cardinals aren't in town. So parking won't be crazy. You know, that was the key. That's the one thing about being downtown that I have to, especially now, like, cause the season starts in, I think, 12 days or something. And then it gets real choppy when people are like, hey, I could come by Tuesday. And it's like, hold on. And I got to pull up the schedule real quick and be like, well, after 2 p.m., parking's going to be like $70. Are you okay with that? And they're like, no. And it's like, okay, well, then how about Thursday? My goal is put on a couple different comedy shows, grow the podcast. I've got a couple comedian buddies that I want. They're helping me kind of like grow mine, and I'm helping them start a podcast. And so a year from now, one of my goals is to have like three different podcasts that I'm helping produce, like mine and two others. And then, you know, all the way up to 20 years from now, I want to sell out Busch Stadium. Like I want to do a comedy show festival with comedians, musicians, whatever, in Busch Stadium. And the first time I ever said that out loud, like everybody I said it to started laughing, and I was like, yeah, it's funny, but I want to do it.
Yeah. You got to put it out there, man. Otherwise, it's...
Yeah, like, and it's 20 years from now. And if it takes me 25 years, okay. If it takes me 10 years, okay. But I still want to, you know, the fact that I want to do it, that's the important part. And so it's like, how do I get to that stage? All right, well, we start here, and we just stepping stones.
Dude, I love
that. That's awesome, man.
That's a fucking cool goal.
Yeah, it is.
That is a really cool goal.
It's a cool goal, yeah.
I love that.
I've had a lot of people be like,
it's a big goal, but that's a cool goal.
That's a goal. Yeah, that's a choice.
It fucking happened, man.
Yeah, yeah. But it, yeah, exactly. It's like 90, I feel like 90% of any job or dream is just trying. You know, because there's so many people that are like, oh, I want to be a musician. I want to be a chef. I want to be a actor. I want to be whatever. And it's like, okay, well, what are you doing to get there? Well, nothing.
Step one's, but go buy the fucking guitar, dude. Right.
Yeah. You know? Step one, Google, like music shop, you know, acting class, whatever. Just try it. Just try. And you'd be crazy. It's crazy to see, like, you just put in the effort and it happened, you know? And I mean, everybody has their own trajectory for success, you know, but it's also like you're not a failure until you quit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you know how many times I've gone on stage and just bombed and been like, oh, I suck. I'm not a good comedian. Oh, this sucked, whatever. And then I realized, like, yeah, but I did it. I tried, you know, I know 10 million people that are like, well, I always wanted to try comedy, but I don't want to do it. You know? And you're like, okay, well then, all right, you didn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
But,
well, that's the thing, too, I think about comedy, like, because I've seen shows where, you know, people have just have bombed and you just kind of forget it. You just kind of move on from it. But I won't forget the ones that fucking killed it. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it could have been the same fucking, it could have been the same people. Like,
yeah.
Well, he could have bombed and I just completely forgot about it. And then I see him the next time and it's just like, he goes off and I'm like, yeah, I like this guy.
Well, there's so many, I mean, I've done shows before where, like, I bombed and people come up to you afterwards and they're like, hey, it was great. And you're like, no, it was terrible. What are you talking about? I like, this joke didn't work. This joke, you know, in my head, I'm doing that. But people are like, yeah, it was good. You know, because they're just like, they don't care as much as I do about it. And also, like you said, nobody else is going to pay that much attention to it. Mm. Like, you're not going to think about it on the drive home. Like, man, that guy sucked. That guy was terrible. But he's driving home like, I suck. I'm terrible, you know? So just, you got to get up there and do it again, you know, try it again.
Do the thing.
Yeah. Do the thing. Yeah. Do the, that's it. Yeah.
Do the thing. I love that. I love that. That's awesome. One of my favorite lines. All right, Eric, it was a blast having you on
here,
man.
Thank you so much for having me on here.
This was great. It was a lot of fun. You know, everybody go check out Eric's podcast. It's called The Best.
Yep.
On YouTube, Spotify.
Yeah, at ER Comedy on all social media, except for Facebook. It's my name, Eric Russler, and then YouTube, Spotify for the podcast. And
you said every Wednesday night?
Every Wednesday night, yeah. I do a show at Smashem's Burger Bar on Morgan Ford, 3169 Morgan Ford. We play bingo. It's like we hand out bingo cards, and each one of them has like a different subject in it. And if a comic on stage talks about that subject, you cross it off.
Oh,
you
awesome.
Get a bingo. You get either one free drink or a free order of fries, whichever one you want. It's just kind of a fun way to keep people engaged and keep watching. If you don't mind, when does this come?
This will be out on Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. On March 22nd and 23rd, I will be with my good buddy Will O'Donnell. On the 22nd, we'll be in Louisiana, Missouri. And then on the 23rd, we'll be at the Funny Bone. We're doing a show for, it's like a Heroes benefit. I think it's like a veteran sponsored show where the tickets go to a charity. He just said, hey, would you want to be on this hero show? And I was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know? And then March 29th, I'll be at Max Bar. Got a showcase there with a couple of really great comics. And then, like I said, April 18th at Spark.
Sweet.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, man. Well, we like to end it with one last question. We call it the tombstone game. So here lies Eric. What does it say on your tombstone?
The hood's been talking about him.
Uh, might be my favorite one I've ever had.
That was the best call I ever got. I did a show. Like I said, I've done a lot of shows where like I'm the only white person there.
Yeah.
And I got a call from Murphy Lee and Key Wan from the St. Lunatics. I got a message from them, like a group text, and it said, "Hey, the hood's been talking about you." And I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever. I screenshotted it and I was like, I'm officially the coolest kid from my high school. Like, this is.
I win.
Yeah. Like, all right, cool.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Oh, man. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. If you haven't hit that like, that subscribe button yet, we'd really appreciate it. Please click subscribe. Comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.